24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked. BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
A New York City address is instantly recognizable and impressive to customers and clients. Starting at only a dollar a day, nycvirtualoffice.com provides mail forwarding options, including a walk-in location, and receives mail and packages to national and international customers with no setup fees and no contracts. With your Fifth Avenue address, you can incorporate your business, open bank accounts and lines of credit, and gain instant credibility. Call today, 212-726-1000. That's 212-726-1000 or online at nycvirtualoffice.com.
Of Bashani Magazine. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., aka The Motivator. And you know how you can reach me, right? You can reach me at BennyRandall.com, or you can go to our private community at BennyOnDemand.com. Let's get right into it, ladies and gentlemen. We have an extraordinary gentleman, extraordinary. His name is Vincent T. Edwards. And for full disclosure, I've known this guy for a long, long time. So I'm not going to sit up here and pat him on the back. You know why? Because he knows how good he is. I'm going to let him tell a little bit about himself. Mr. Vincent T. Edwards, how are you, brother?
I'm doing just well, my brother, the motivator. Hey, if I was doing any better, I'd probably need a twin, man. Need a twin.
Boy, you better stop that up in this place. Hey, Vincent, what I want to talk about today, you know, there's a lot of young people that are going into entrepreneurship, that are doing a lot of things, you know, and they're learning from very abstract ways and things. So before we get into that, tell my audience a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a person of structure. I have many roles, from father to husband to pastor to inspirational, motivational speaker. But if you really want to know me, at the core of my being is to help individuals reach their potential. It's the sharing of information, knowledge, helping them to understand what it takes for them to accomplish their dreams, their goals, and their aspirations. And I come from a matter of the heart, and I speak the truth.
Very, very powerful. That's a great segue to our first question. Let's talk about potential. Here's what I know about people, Mr. Vincent. And that is, everybody has potential because we're born with that potential. Explain what is potential to our listeners and how can they maximize it? Because here's what I believe, Mr. Vincent. Everybody's given a gift when they're born. It's just some people don't open up their gifts under the Christmas tree.
That is absolutely correct. When you look at potential, or the definition from a basic perspective. It's something that's on the inside of you, and you have the capacity to become or to develop into something. Basically, it's the key ingredient to, like, mixing a cake or baking a cake. The key ingredient, they are there. And what happens is you have to, and here's my my religious aspect coming out of the pastor coming out of me. The Bible says you have to stir up those gifts. And if you look at any neighborhood or any country, you can ride by this one place and you can look and you can see untapped potential everywhere. And that's the graveyard, because there's so many ideas, so many concepts, so many things that were never created because people didn't reach their potential. What keeps an individual from doing that? Fear. Not knowing what to do, not knowing who to reach out to, not having that person or that someone to inspire them, or not even that, or having a life-changing event to prompt them to do something.
Very, very powerful. You said something that just caught my attention. You said untapped potential. In today's climate, you know, at one time, you know, we're not going to date ourselves up in here, Vincent. But, you know, at one time, to find out anything, we had to have Webster's Dictionary or encyclopedias and things like that. Now, anybody want to know anything, they can simply Google. And somebody has asked that question somewhere. Let's talk about today's way of learning versus back in the days ways of learning. And do you think there's a strategic advantage in this digital age we live in?
Yeah, I mean, there's a strategic advantage because right now everyone has the opportunity or the potential to be an expert, to maximize the gift that you were born with. Back in my day, like you said, man, you had to go to the library. You had to, you know, had to use a card catalog. I mean, I don't mind dating myself.
Oh, my goodness. He did not say card catalog on Bashani Magazine. No, he did say that.
They always talk about wine gets better as it gets older, man. I'm vintage, man. I have a lot of knowledge, a lot of things, and showing the interactions of how things used to be and how they are now and showing the benefits. And when we talk about learning here and now, I'm just going to say it like this. There is no excuse to not be able to reach or tap into your potential, because like you said, it's online. I mean, you can Google it, and now you don't even have to Google it. All you have to do is say, hey, Siri, hey, Alexa, and you can ask questions, and there's a plethora of information. And then you have the ability to learn right in your own home from your mobile device at your leisure, at your specific time period when you want to. I mean, everything's on demand. Because the lifestyle that we live. So the ability to capture knowledge and to have access to knowledge, it's right there. It's a matter of do you want to or not.
So in other words, what I just got from that is that there is no excuse. Anything that you want to know about, anything that you want to learn about, you have access now. It's just a part of you actually getting up and do the work. Is that what you're saying?
Just getting up and doing it. I mean, even for the do-it-yourself, the man that can't even do anything, all you got to do is just YouTube. You can find out how to build anything on YouTube. But it's do you want to do it?
There it is, untapped potential. So let's talk about today's youth, because they're the ones who will be here after we're gone. What is your suggestion for some of these young people now who, you know, some are more and more becoming entrepreneurs because they don't believe in the work system nowadays? What is your advice to young people that want to become an entrepreneur, and what's three steps they can take today that would allow them to get focused on becoming an entrepreneur?
One of the things I would say is there's no better thing than being your own boss or having your own business. But the thing is not just having a business where if you leave, you know, the business dies, but creating a business that makes money whether or not you're there. One of the things that I would recommend, and it took me a while to grasp this concept, is there's some fundamental things that you have to know and ask. And one of the things is, who am I? Because you're not going to realize your full potential till you understand who you are. So that's the first thing. Who am I? What's my purpose? Why am I here on this earth? And once you realize your purpose, then you can say, where am I? Where am I in life? It's kind of like you go, you know, when you go into a place, go into an amusement park and you're lost, you look up there on the thing that says, you are here. You have to say, where am I? And then you have to say, where do I want to go? And that's a key that most young people don't know. They don't know where they want to go. And until you know who you are, where you are, and where you want to go, you will always remain stagnant. Now, once you know who you are,
let's break it down. Let me break it down. Let's start with who you are, Vincent. How does a person find out who they are? Or did I say that right? I don't know if that was correct English, but how do you know? I didn't do good in English, so it didn't matter. All right, but go ahead. Who are they? How does a person find out who they are?
For me, look at what you like to do, what you find that comes more naturally. And I'll use myself as an example. And my realization of to who I am was revealed to me by God. I tried a lot of different things. I went to college. I was pre-med. I was chemistry. I was all of this. But it wasn't until I actually came to the realization that I do very well in the area of business and that speaking was very easy to me and learning was very easy. Who am I? I found out that I was a person endowed with the gift to easily learn and the ability to communicate and to teach others. When I found that out and I actually did it, it was with little effort and, oh my goodness, my brother, I came alive. When I began teaching and talking to people and letting them know that in order to get from here to there, you have to know who you are, and this is how you do it, I came alive, and there was this joy on the inside. And so finding out who you are has a lot to do with soul searching and talking to God and understanding what is it that comes more natural to me.
That was very powerful, and I'm not going to let him skip over that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, he said pre-med, right? See, that's a smart dude right there. The only time I did pre-med is when I went to the hospital and I was looking for the medicine. That was my pre-med, all right? But that's very powerful, I think. So let's go to step two, Mr. Vincent. I think that was extraordinary, but I want to break it down for these listeners because I want them to walk away with something that they can use right now in this conversation. So knowing who you are, that was number one. Number two was?
Where am I?
Where am I? So break that down. How do we figure that out?
I mean, you look around and you see, where am I? From the standpoint of, what am I doing right now? Am I in school? Do I have a job? Am I living at home? Am I living with my parents?
I just want to be clear, Vincent. So we're not talking about location. We're talking about where are you in your state of life and experience right now. Is that what you're going on? Okay, I want to be clear. So we're talking about not like where you are. Are you in Boston or Ohio? He's talking about where you are in your status of life right now. What to experience?
Right. Your place in life. It's like, what's actually going on? What's happening to me? What's my environment? What are my relationships? What are my associations? What type of information am I listening to? What am I surrounding myself with? What encompasses me day to day. Where am I? Am I in a state of constant flux? Am I in a state of confusion? Am I in a state of doing a lot of different things, a lot of motion, but no movement? Where am I?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Is it a cloudy day in my mind? Is my thinking coherent? Is my thinking abstract? Am I focused? Where am I?
Very bad. I'm just writing stuff down. Like he was like, it's a cloudy day in my mind. Untapped potential. Man, I'm just, if y'all hear me just coming up with stuff, I probably stole it from him. Let's just go with it, though. I'm just being real. Let's go. All right, let's go to step number three, Vincent. That was pretty cloudy in the mind. Untapped potential. Go ahead, brother. Let's go to number three.
So where do I want to go? And this is the thing, because you can ask people, everybody says, you know, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. But no, where do you really want to be next week? If money wasn't an option, if money wasn't an issue, where would you want to be next week? What would you want to be doing next week? If you could define your ideal lifestyle, that state of utopia, what would that be?
Mm.
And I break it down like this. If money wasn't an issue, even if you didn't get paid to do it, what would you want to wake up and do every single day? Because that gives you an idea. If I could just wake up every day, this is where I'd like to be. And once you realize that, and your mind has expanded to that, it's hard to go back. Because now you have this picture in your mind, and I was told that wherever your mind is, your body will eventually catch up to it.
Mm.
As long as your mind stays in that state. So now you said, okay, here's my purpose. And I'm going to use myself. I'm destined to speak and teach. Here's where I am. I'm in a state and I'm surrounded by people who don't do anything that I want to do. I'm in an environment that's not conducive to me getting out there. So now I realize this is where I am. Where do I want to go? I want to be on stage. I want to be on the internet where people are accessing me 24/7. Okay, now I see there and on the internet providing information. Okay, so I'm here. I want to get there. My mind is there. Now, how do I get my body there? How do I get into that realm? And now you have to surround yourself with people who have done that. Now you have to get in those environments and acquire mentors. And then not only that, the key to getting to where you want to go is investment.
Mm. Boy,
you have to invest in yourself. And now for my church folks, I'm going to show you how to do it from the pastoral side so you understand.
Hold up, Vincent. You can't be skipping the game here. I'm doing the interview, okay? You're not going to be just transitioning to your next question on your own like I ain't got nothing to do with this right here. All right, I'm no, here. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we having a disagreement. I got that, but I didn't even tell people that yet. I'm about to go to that in my transition. Now you just gonna push the conversation, ladies and gentlemen. This is what happens when you have a hostile guest. All right, when you have a hostile guest, they just try to take. When you get somebody that talk more than you. You know, they just try to take over the show, and like they don't even need you in the show right now. You know what I mean? We're gonna stop this hostile takeover. All right.
I'm gonna get in my place. I understand. That's one of the things that you have to understand. You have to stay in your lane, because when you stay in your lane, there's abundance in your lane.
There it is. All right, so here's where I was going to go, because that was literally my next question. I was going to say, how did you, you know, I heard a great interview with T.D. Jakes, and he was talking about the difference between his business world and his pastoral world and how he had to balance them, which I didn't know that he was a businessman long before he was a pastor, because, you know, he was on the Breakfast Club, and they asked him, how does the church folks, you know, receive him, you know, and doing all this other business outside of pastor. And he said, because I was in business before the church ever started, before he even, you know, started the church. So I came already as a businessman, and now I balance it out. So my question to you, how do you balance out being a businessman and a pastor?
Well, and I won't quote the exact scripture, but here, you know, from a biblical perspective, the Bible admonishes people to work. Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament, but Paul was still yet a tent maker. And the Bible says if any man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. So the Bible speaks to that. So how do you make a living? Well, you have to work. And the best place to work is your own business. Now, to find that balance between the two, I differentiate. What I do from a ministerial side is different than what I do on the inspirational and motivational side, even though the basis of the material and the concepts are still the same. For example, the greatest leadership books that have ever been written are built off the foundation of how business was developed and leadership was developed and even delegation was developed in the Old Testament. So what do I do? Well, for me, you know, and I'm not speaking to anybody else, you know, delivering a sermon and preaching in a church environment is totally different than me coming in and doing a seminar and a workshop to get you to reach your potential. So the separation is there. And when I'm coming to preach, I'm coming to preach the unadulterated gospel, steering you into the kingdom of God. But the Bible itself also admonishes us to be whole. And because Jesus even asked the man one time, will thou be made whole? And when I look at being made whole, it's body, mind, and spirit. And so we'll focus on that spirit man. But however, and I'll go back to even my days when I was growing up, and my brother even brought this out to me. He said, man, they did a lot of spiritual stuff when we were growing up, but nobody ever really taught us how to translate that and be successful in everyday life. So if I had to break it down, my business is about the natural man and showing you how to navigate the environments of this world in which we live in order to reach your potential. From the spiritual side, I'm dealing with your soul and preparing you to get into the kingdom of God. So that's how I make that separation. And so what I do for the kingdom with regard to preaching and teaching, I can't put a price on the gospel, because Jesus already paid that price when he died on the cross. So freely it was given and freely I give. But when it comes to my labor and putting things together and doing things and inspiring and writing, I'm taking now the gift that God has given me to help someone else to reach their potential, and that gift made room and made money.
Very, very powerful. You know, but you know, though, as I listen to a lot of speakers, you know, especially some of those that were brought up in our time and brought up in, you know, the church, I hear a lot of the principles that they are talking about kind of relating to a lot of the principles that I've heard or read in the Bible itself, just with a more mass appeal type of twist to it. You know what I mean? And do you find that a lot of things that are in the Bible can help you in your everyday life when it comes to being that business person?
But of course, the Bible even says in business be nigger. The principles in the Bible are true. And if you stick to those principles and build your business by those principles, you can not help but be successful, because the Bible itself is living and it's alive. So those principles are, and I'll just go this way with it from a scriptural standpoint. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. And his words are true. And so if biblical principles translate into secular knowledge and wealth, it'll never go away. And I'll even go one step further. The Bible says, and this, you got me there, it says it is God who gives you the power to get wealth.
There it is. There it is.
So you can't separate the two.
That's the combination I wanted people to get. So you just did it for me. But go ahead, bro. That's why I like talking to a pastor and a businessman, because they can break it down in all these different ways. I can only break it down in one way, and that's the way I know. You know what I mean? But you can go in and just make it all come to life. So go ahead, bro. Preach on.
I'm just saying that. So you really can't separate the two. And so if you do business by the book, by the Bible, you can't help but be successful.
Very, very powerful. So let me ask you this now. Let's talk about, because one thing I've learned about wealth is ownership. What is your take on ownership? Because me personally, I believe in buying a neighborhood. And what I mean by that is, before you go out far ways and try to buy some things on the outside, you should look around you and see some things you can buy in the neighborhood, whatever your neighborhood is. Why? Because the more that you put into that, the more can come back to you as a fruitful community. A lot of times people go out the neighborhood and it doesn't help the economy, you know, because you know and I know when gentrification is happening. You know, mm-hmm. The big stores, they know about it because that's when they start moving in. And trust me, they don't get leases for the next 20 years for nothing. They don't get leases for the next 50 years unless they know something that the everyday person don't know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They know, hey, look around these homes. They're going to be expensive. Hey, look around this neighborhood. It's going to be expensive. All the other businesses that are coming in here are going to make more people live, because I can guarantee you Walmart is not looking for space in the desert. You know what I mean? They're looking for a space where they can make money and be profitable. So back to the question, and that is very simple. Let's talk about investing in your neighborhood and in the things that you do.
From standpoint, that's, I want to make sure I understand your question. So I'm going to approach it from this standpoint. Ownership is key.
Yes.
When you own something, you have more control of what's going on. You have the ability to make changes and the ability to do things. Whereas if you work for someone else, and there's nothing wrong with working for someone to get started, to get your capital, but you're under their control. Whatever they say you have to do, however they want you to move, you have to do. You have to abide by certain rules and regulations. But 'tis good to be the owner. Now, when you look at ownership, I look at it from a different perspective than just saying, okay, I own my own business. Well, you can own your own business, but are you the business, or do you have other people helping you? Because if you get sick and something happens, does the business go on? Mm-hmm. So therefore, ownership is having the business work for you when you don't have to be there. Mm-hmm. Now, that provides you with more freedom and then more capital to invest. And when you talk about investing in your own surroundings, your own neighborhood right there, that is key. Because now, one, it puts you in a good light, because it's, wow, he's taking time to invest in this community. But at the same time, you're right there and you're closer to it. You know what's going on, and you can help develop it and build it and grow and expand it. And then you can take that model and transplant that same model in other cities, other counties, other states. But the investing dollars locally helps your community, and it keeps dollars there and helps to even employ those around the neighborhood and in that environment.
Very, very powerful. I want to elaborate on something you said earlier, though, about, you know, your business surviving after you're gone. So I just want to break it down like this to some of the listeners, and that is, you can either have a company or you can have a corporation. A corporation will live long beyond you. Most companies, they die when the person who created it leaves. You know what I mean? Apple, that's a corporation. It's built in such a way that there's a system, and no matter who you have driving the system, you can replace people within the system, and the corporation continues to go when Steve Jobs left, et cetera, et cetera. When you have a company and you're the only entity that's making it work, there's a system that's missing there. So that for, you know, if you're the only driving force, you're the only thing that's spinning in that company, then when you're no longer there, the company dies. So it's all about building that machine. You know, I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on that. Does that make sense, Mr. Vincent?
Oh, it makes absolute perfect sense, motivator.
You know what I mean? Hey, just in case you're just joining us, you're listening to Bashani Magazine right here on BashaniRadio.com. I am Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and I'm speaking to Vincent T. Edwards, the businessman and the pastor. So tell me some things that's going on with your business part, Mr. Vincent.
Right now, following the current business model and where things are going, getting ready to launch a private community, Vincent On Demand, .com. The website is up and running if you want to go there. It should be launching soon. And what you'll find when you get there, it's basically you'll have one-on-one with Mr. Speaker. I'll be putting up workshops, seminars, spiritual growth and development. I'll be doing online Bible studies. So for those of you who don't want to go to church or can't make a Wednesday night or Thursday night, I'll have online Bible discussions that you can do at your leisure. And I'll also put up sermons, and I'll have some online interviews with some powerful people to show you insights on various topics, as well as a section called Up Close and Personal, meaning that I will tell you some personal things about me and share some life stories about me. Therefore, you can glean from my mistakes, because one thing I've always learned is smart people learn from their own mistakes, but wise people learn from the mistakes of others. So in Up Close and Personal, I'm going to give you the opportunity and the chance to be wise by sharing with you my mistakes, my failures, how I overcame some things. Because what I found is that people who are truly successful share their success with others, because a lot of times it gets back to when we talked earlier, how do we help this younger generation, the entrepreneurs? Well, somebody has to share. Somebody had to share with me. The only reason I'm here is because somebody took time with me, and I invested in me. So I'm going to do the up close and personal. So that's, you know, the major thing that's on the horizon. And then I'm in preparation to do a seminar here in Tallahassee entitled How to Change Your Life. So it's going to be a very powerful seminar that's going to be coming up very, very soon. I'm going to launch it here in the Tallahassee market.
So how would people be able to find out these dates? Where is there a site they can go to see the calendar of these things that are happening, since you don't have a date right now?
It's very, very easy. Everything's around my name. I learned this from a great, great person.
Go ahead, brother.
Go to Vincent T. Edwards. It's my name. VincentTEdwards.com. And there you can find out everything about me and about being successful and how to book me. And then all of the online on-demand stuff will be at VincentOnDemand.com. VincentOnDemand.com is where you'll go and be able to be a part of Mr. Speaker's special session. And if you go there right now and you click on subscribe, you'll be able to join our email list. And once you join our email list, you'll be one of the first to know, hey, it's about to launch on XYZ. But that's where they can go.
That's very, very powerful. And I love that you have, you know, a little bit of you behind this, but in this community, you know, a little bit of the pastor, a little bit of the business, you know, both. And I think that's extraordinary, especially being, you know, what I've learned just seeing how a lot of other people are doing things. People want to kill the noise of social media. You know what I mean? There's so much noise out there. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are certain people I like to listen to, and there are just certain people I just don't want to listen to. So having the ability to go to their community where I know I'm going to get 24/7 of them anytime I want to, versus having to wait till they post something on social media and hope I see it in the other millions of people. Nah, I'll take the private community anytime. So I can appreciate you doing that. That's very so. So people will not only get to see you in action, they will get to interact with you. Is that what I'm getting from this?
Well, they'll be able to interact from a standpoint of they'll be able to probably ask questions. But everything that you see, I may do some live segments, but I learned this from one of my mentors, that if you're doing live events, you're basically telling people when they have to do something. But right now, people want to do things when they want to do them. So when I talk about interaction, you'll be able to interact with me from the standpoint, you'll be able to see things at your own leisure, go back, rewind, pause, come back. And if there's anything that you don't understand or you need clarification, you can contact me.
That's very powerful. So Vincent On Demand is almost like Netflix, because, you know, when you get your subscription, don't nobody bother you. You just go in there and you just look what you want to look at. You can binge if you want. Nobody said, you don't watch that show 10 times. You can't watch it again. No one bothers you. As long as your payment clears in the next 30 days, don't nobody bother though with you, you know, in that aspect. Mm-hmm. So that's very, very powerful.
May I bring out another point?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but I asked the host before I say something.
Stop it, brother. Stop it.
The other thing with this on-demand style of delivery, it takes the fear out of learning. Because it's only you, and nobody knows if you don't know a particular topic. Mm. And you can sit there and you can learn at your own pace. People can talk about you, but you can go back and you can rewind and you can practice and you can rewind. And then you go back and you can wax eloquently about topics that you learned at your own leisure, in your own home, and sometimes in your pajamas with your cup of coffee, or if you like me, a cup of Earl Grey tea.
There it is. Wax eloquently. See, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to understand. See, I didn't do good in English. So when I want to say big words and stuff, I go and listen to Vincent. Because almost every time I listen to his podcast, I listen to anything he's speaking on a video, he always say one or two words that I add to my vocabulary. You know what I mean? He said today, untapped potential. You know, that just sounds like doom doo doo doom, untapped potential. You know what I mean? And then just now he said wax eloquently. I can't spell eloquently, but it just sound good coming out my tongue. You know what I mean? Just like eloquently. So, you know, if you start hearing me say, you know, I was walking down the street so eloquently, you know that I just stole the word. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but it just sound good. So I could sound like I know something. But that's what I mean. You got to learn from, he said it earlier, you know, wise men, they learn from other people's mistakes. Well, I learned from other people's vocabularies, all right, because mine was a mistake. So let's just make it happen. I'm just to tease you.
But my brother, for his listening audience, don't let him fool you. He is a man of many talents, and he has a vocabulary, and his choice of diction is superb and stellar. He is a man with great business acumen. So just listen to the motivator.
I'm going to edit that part out. I'm going to use it as a testimonial, because that sounded really good. Like, it almost sounded like he was talking about me. So I'm going to edit that part out. I'm just joking. All right, let's get back to topic, man. These people are like, what's going on? Did we stop the interview? I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That's just Benny, just being Benny. You know what I mean? So where do you see business heading in the next 5 to 10 years, Vincent?
It's going to be, in my opinion, based on what I see, more, when I say customer focused, customer driven, but it's going to be more service delivery. When I say that, what I'm saying is people are just naturally lazy, and we're going to become more of a convenient society. It used to be a time when you went to the ATM, and, you know, say, oh, they're going to charge me a convenience fee. But you paid it because you wanted your money. You wanted it instantaneously. You want it now. Well, now they have things like Cash App, and you can just take money there, and you can transfer money electronically because it's an ease of convenience. Where it's going to be now? People want stuff, and they want it now. The companies that will survive will be able to provide it right then and right now. For example, I mean, you have these major companies. They're two-day delivery. Some people are now trying to go to one-day delivery. And now with Uber Eats and all these other things, people want to sit in their homes, and they want things delivered. They want things brought to them. So the companies that survive will be able to take what they have to the people and not have the people come to them to get it. So you're going to have to take it to the people. That's where business is going. That's why on-demand is where it's at. If you can't provide what I need when I demand it, you're no longer going to be in demand.
Mm, boy, that was wax poetic right there. Okay. That was wax poetic right there. Wow. And it's funny that you say that because think about Amazon now. I think Amazon, Mr. Vincent, they've gotten it down now to in certain areas where you can order something online, and in 3 hours, it's in a locker somewhere at your nearest store, and you go and pick it up. You know what I mean? Right from your convenience store. So, you know, they're you know, after a while, it's going to be instant like the Jetsons. You're going to go, you're going to hit your TV, and it's going to pop out the TV. It's just that simple. And I know that because I got a refrigerator. I got a refrigerator that do more stuff than my computer. So tells me when it need food and everything, like it's eating or something. You know what I mean? Be like, you are low on groceries. I know I'm low because I didn't buy any. How about that?
You are low on groceries. You will be losing weight soon if you don't go.
Hello? That was the point. I want to lose weight. Shoot. So it's all good, though. No, we're in such a digital society. So here's a point I hear a lot of people talking about. They're saying since we're in such a digital society, Vincent, people have forgot how to communicate with each other, though. People are hiding behind the computer screens. People are hiding behind texts. You ever be talking to somebody on text, Vincent, and then you say, you know what, this is taking too long to get, and you pick up the phone to call them and they don't pick up, and you be like, hold on, I was just texting you, how you not gonna pick up? I just text you. And people rather text than they want to actually pick up. I'm just curious, do you see that happening in the world we live in, that people have forgotten how to have human contact with each other?
Yes, and long term, I think it's going to be detrimental. And here's why, because humans, we're social beings. We talk about this thing of social network and social media, but we are so well connected electronically, but we are not connecting at a level that provides what we need, that social aspect. And that's why it's going to be a real, real challenge, because even though people like to work remotely and they just want to chat and text message, it has some barriers when it comes to communication. I'll give you an example. I was just today, I sent out what I felt was a perfectly worded email to someone, and then they sent back the wrong thing. Now, I could have taken the time to write a whole other email and send it again, but I was like, that's a waste of my time. I picked up the phone call, and in a matter of seconds, effectively communicated what was needed, and then it was sent. Sometimes there's a loss when we're just from behind the keyboard, and what it has created is a lot of cyber courage, because people will say whatever they want to say when they want to say it. It kind of reminds me of when back in the day when I used to consume adult beverages, and you have one or too many, you get real courageous and start saying everything. And they used to call that liquid courage. But now, with the ability to sit behind a computer, people will say anything, because there is basically, no repercussions for their actions. But what it's doing is putting together or creating a society that doesn't know how to interact socially. And that very basic social need of being able to be heard, to be listened to, the human voice, and not only the human voice, but the human touch. It matters. I believe there's some research out there that you can put kids down if you don't touch them and they don't feel that warmth of the human touch, there's something that's lost. And their lives are different. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it did. I want you to, I guess I want to go in a little bit more layman terms and ask you this. Do you see the growth of the digital world somehow hampering what we do in the physical world when it comes to human contact? Mike, do you see a loss? Do you see more of a gain of it?
Productivity-wise, there's a gain, because you can do a lot more digitally, electronically, the speed of business. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot.
And also things that are bad, too, immediately goes viral too if it's shocking and whatever. Like, you know, we have a resident right now, you know, some people call him the president, I call him a resident, but you know, his whole method of communication is Twitter. He doesn't even talk to his advisors, he talks to Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, in one way there is access, but in another way it's also inaccurate information, because it's being pumped by one person who has a large audience. So I guess what I'm asking is there a balance needed when it comes to us, the human race?
Yes, there's truly a balance needed. I mean, everything that God made or allowed man to create by way of putting a thought or an idea in their mind, when used properly, it's beneficial and for the good. But yet, we tend to take things and use them in ways that are detrimental. There has to be a balance. Yes, and I'll use the church, for example, with this. This whole concept of text messaging and using digital communication, it's great, because if anything happens to a church member, or if service is canceled or service needs to be changed or bad weather and we're not going to meet, it's easy for me to hop on my cell phone, type up a message and send it out, and it hits every member's church phone instantaneously. And I can even do a video. So that's good. It's a tool to communicate certain things. But where we're taking it is we want to replace human interaction with zeros and ones. Mm.
That's where it gets deep.
With zeros and ones. And what's going to happen with that, in my opinion, is we're going to become a bunch of zeros. Mm. No feeling, no thoughts, no emotions, robotic. And that's the challenge.
That's very powerful.
What are we doing right now, Benny? We're communicating verbally.
Yes, sir.
This dialogue, this exchange, I can feel, even though you're miles away from me, I can feel the energy in your voice. I can hear the passion. I can sense it. There's a sense of connectivity from a spiritual and natural perspective. I feel like I'm locked into you emotionally. But if we were to have this conversation digitally, I can't even type as fast, so we can go back and forth.
Yeah, we'd have this conversation digital. We would have been like two things. I'd have been gone because all the misspelled words I'd have gave. But yeah, I got you.
So I believe there has to be a balance and understand that the technology is meant to increase productivity and the speed, but we must never leave out the human element. It's something I was taught before. Work is comprised of two things, people and processes. And when we look at the process side, it incorporates technology and systems. You can have the best technology and systems in place, but without the people, they are nothing. And you can have the best people in the world, but without the processes, it's nothing. So there has to be that ultimate balance, because you need people to drive and work and maneuver and improve the processes.
Mm-hmm. That is very, very powerful. And you know, man, you know, when you're having fun, time goes so fast. We are coming down to the last few minutes, Vincent. And here's where I want to go with this. We've talked about business. We've talked about the pastor part. And I want to end on this. We are living in a world right now where it seems to be a lot of chaos. We're living in a world that people seem to just looking for things to hate other people for, whether they're race, their color, their political beliefs. It's just very hostile energy we're in right now. What is your message for the world? What is your message for the human race? Because I believe if we don't come to some type of calm down, like anything that overheats, eventually it would explode.
Mm-hmm. So what specifically are you asking me?
What's the solutions to some of this hate that we have on each other?
The solution,
because we know what the problems are, so we don't even have to discuss the problems. I want to know, what's the solution?
Well, for that I'm going to have to divulge the information that I know and what I know that works. And I'm going to have to take you to the world's best seller, the book that has sold so many copies. And the answer is there, because what we're doing, we're searching for people problems. We're looking for a political solution for things that are going on that are spiritual. We're trying to find a natural solution. But with everything that's going on today, everything that's happening today, the solution is this. And I'm going to take the listening audience to the book, the Second Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. We look at everything that's going on in this world. We look at how things are going awry, but we have the solution, but we have to do it. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And here's the part. And will heal their land. And so we're searching for solutions from our government, state, local, federal, from philosophers. The solution is God saying, I will hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. What is your land? Your home, your country. He says, if you will just pray and seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, the promise is right there. he'll heal the land. Mm. So it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. This whole thing is what we would call an if-then statement. If you want things to change in your life, then you must. If you want more money, then you must. If you want to reach your potential, then you must. If you want your land to be healed, if you humble yourself, if you pray, if you seek his faith, you turn, then he'll heal your land.
Mm, that's a very, very powerful way to go out of this. Vincent, for those who want to learn more about you, what is that websites again, please?
Just my name with my middle initial, Vincent T. Edwards. VincentTEdwards.com. And just for the sake of the record, the T stands for Tyrone. So y'all can just call Tyrone.
You better call Tyrone. You know, as long as I've known this gentleman, I never knew that. Oh, sick it now. He done gave me some ammunition now. I never knew the T was for Tyrone. Stop it.
VincentTEdwards.com, and then just go to VincentOnDemand.com. That's VincentOnDemand.com.
Wow, very powerful. Vincent, I appreciate you being on Bashani Magazine, where we interview entrepreneurs, world changers, and business leaders whose purpose is to serve the world that we live in. And I appreciate you taking your time from your busy schedule to come and have a conversation, because I think that we got enough shows that entertain people. We got enough sports that people can yell and clap. We got enough things to distract us. But you know what? Every now and then, you just need a conversation. And a conversation between men and women that can enlighten, serve, and help those that are listening. So I appreciate you coming on. And that's VincentTEdwards.com. The T is for Tyrone. You know, I ain't gonna never let this go. Now, you don't told me this, bro. I ain't gonna never let that go. I always wonder what the T was. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But Tyrone, oh, Lord, we gotta call Tyrone.
That's where you'll find a lot of that on up close and personal.
There it
is. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the show, be a part of the magazine, because it goes back to that interactive conversation. And, you know, iron sharpens iron. So I love being able to have my blade sharpened by your blade.
There it is. And I hope that you guys got some. And don't forget Vincent on Demand if you want to go to that private community and be a part. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. You can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com or go to my private community at BennyOnDemand.com. And you know I'm a gear to you. We're 4 years strong and we still going on. It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. And if you don't remember nothing else I tell you, I want you to remember this. I love you. You can't do a damn thing about it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verkay Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now, worldwide. Boom! In your face.